This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
I sound great.
I sound present.
Yeah, you sound great too.
Thanks.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 95. Tom, today is great to see you here.
Thank you. It is.
It's not a sentence.
It's not, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Yeah.
We're getting close to 100.
We're getting really close.
That's old.
But do you know what? I was looking through, because some time ago in the not too distant past, Apple, like iTunes and podcasts, changed how they were doing it. So they number it as well.
Oh, okay.
Which is really confusing, particularly when we have specials and bonuses.
So our episodes now look like geographical locations.
Exactly. It's like episode 110, 95, or whatever it is. But I had a look at when the actual 100th upload was, and it was your return after you were away earlier this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
But obviously it's not an official.
No, it's not.
That'll be in 5 weeks' time.
We should do something. I don't know. 5 weeks from now. When's that? That's coming up to Halloween. Maybe have a spooky special or something. We should do that for Halloween anyway.
Yeah. And if it coincides with 100, then two birds, one stone.
Yes. Can we do it? We should do a countdown of like top five people being ripped apart in zombie films.
There's so many.
There is. And I mean actual like bodies coming apart, not just chunks being taken, because there's some good ones. You've got David in Shaun of the Dead being pulled out the window.
I mean, not even just movies for Walking Dead episodes.
Yeah.
That's a thing. I mean, the very first episode of The Walking Dead, Rick walks past a lady who is now a zombie, but there's only half of her and she's just crawling through a park. Beautiful introduction.
Thanks.
It's great. I love it. Ooh. All right. We'll be talking about Fear the Walking Dead episode. We've got a different sort of quiz today. A listener emailed thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com with a suggestion because she would like to partake in it as well.
Well, I'm going to give that a Tim Allen inquisitive
Good. Yes, I shan't say anything else.
Okay.
I've got lots of news and I've watched a couple of things.
Nice. I've got lots of news. I've watched a few things. There wasn't many trailers this week.
That's all right though.
That is all right. We've had a lot.
There's been a lot of trailers and a lot of other things what need be talking about. What do you want to start with? Have you got like a big bang story? As in not as in the big bang, but like a big, nice first one.
A big one?
Yeah.
You want a big one?
I want a big one.
Okay, so Disney have inked a 10-year deal in the UK with Pinewood Studios at their Buckinghamshire, which I don't know if that's how you say it. It's Buckinghamshire is how it's written, but I'm sure it's pronounced Buckinghamshire.
Yeah, probably. Do you know what fascinates and amuses me? Listening to an American say Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, sure.
Their mouth goes all different ways. It's weird. Pinewood is where, is that James Bond and Star Wars? It's definitely Star Wars.
Yes, so Pinewood has traditionally been the home of James Bond. And the last few films, not as much.
Oh, really?
And then Disney has pretty much taken over there recently anyway. They did Star Wars, both of the J.J. Abrams and
Last Jedi.
Yeah. And
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so. And Rogue One. Was there as well?
What about was Han Solo? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think Solo was there. Harry Potter, plenty of that. Not all of Harry Potter, but bits and pieces. Most of that was over at Warner Brothers. But anyway, okay. Pinewood has a few different locations. They recently set out a similar deal with their Shepparton location for Netflix. So this is an outside.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah, hearing about that. Yeah.
But that's a pretty big deal for 10
that's
years.
Huge.
They're going to be doing plenty of stuff over there.
That is such an iconic place.
Yeah.
When people say Pinewood, you know what it is.
Yeah. So what that means for Bond, I'm not sure. because that's traditionally been the spiritual home.
I wonder if there's a deal, a clause, like a James Bond movie gets this allocated amount of time every 3 years or whatever.
Look, perhaps there's part
it
of
could
that.
Be.
Or that I'm sure they're happy filming internationally or other on location, this sort of stuff.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And now, a word from our sponsor. There's a new cooking show that will blow the rest out of the water.
This totally won't happen.
Can You Can Spaghetti? We'll show the world just how versatile tin pasta really is. Each week, contestants will go head-to-head to see who can deliver
the greatest dish ever.
On toast, truffle-infused, using a smoker, canned spaghetti gelato, mint flavour, in a sandwich packed for a six-year-old. Challenging kitchen locations will really test our contestants' cooking abilities. Barbecue, on a train, in Gordon Ramsay's shouty restaurant, outside a pub at 1 a.m. Can You Can Spaghetti, streaming now.
I got a little bit of casting news. I got a couple of casting stories.
Okay, hit me.
Well, I think I already knew about this one, but I couldn't remember if I'd actually said it out loud in a podcast or whatnot. So Margaret Thatcher will be in season 4 of The Crown.
Right.
And that has been confirmed to be Gillian Anderson.
Right.
So she will play her. This is not this year's Crown. Crown season 3 will be on later this year, I think.
Okay, that's where I'm getting
November.
Confused.
Yeah. Now that... So, I mean, they're already locking in people and announcing people for season 4.
Oof.
I'm assuming season 4 will be next year. I reckon Gillian Anderson is already doing her English accent because now she's got two accents.
Yeah, doesn't she have an English accent?
She's got an English accent. And then when she goes to America, she's got an American accent. Like she's spoken of it before because she lived – did she grow up? I think she grew up in England. And then moved over to the US.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think, and then picked up the American accent there. But she has spent a fair bit of time over in the UK and has performed in a lot of TV shows with her English accent.
Sure. I went to a panel with her for American Gods, and she was American on screen.
Yeah.
And then speaking with her British accent.
I love her.
She's pretty good.
And how does she manage to look? You've got your Mulder and Scully, Gillian Anderson. And you think back then, you're like, yeah, I mean, she looked like Gillian Anderson. But then you look at her now and you're like, you don't look any different. She does. Like she's lost the puppy.
Sure.
Puppy fat, is that what you call it? I mean, not that she was ever fat, but her face has thinned out a bit.
Mm.
But she still looks amazing. And that was ages ago that X-Files was on.
It's probably Neighbours with Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
They've got that thing going.
And they share that fountain out the back of youth.
Mm.
One other quick casting news I thought you might be interested in.
Yes.
Is Hayley Atwell.
Mm.
Now, she's Peggy Carter in, Marvel-y things.
Agent Carter, Captain America films.
Mm.
A very small, very, very small sliver of the most recent Avengers.
Yeah, she was in Endgame.
Yeah.
Twice? In two separate bits?
Yes.
I think so. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, she's been announced as someone who will play a character that we know nothing about in Mission Impossible 7, which is pretty exciting. What I thought was interesting, though, is that they're shooting back-to-back 7 and 8.
Yes.
Which sounds pretty full on. I don't know if she's going to be a number 8, though.
Yeah, I was reading about that as well. They haven't said. There's some speculation that she may, in fact, be the villain.
That would be awesome.
That would be very cool.
To go from, like her Avengers sort of character to this.
Mm.
Exciting. Because, I mean, Mission Impossible 6 was hugely successful.
And awesome. It was such a good
movie.
You
loved it.
I love that movie. Like, I'd been pretty burnt out on Mission Impossible films.
As a lot of people.
Yeah. 4 was pretty good. 5 was great. And then number 6 was so good. So I'm excited to see where this goes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you got a couple more to go with. All right.
Oh, I've got some casting news.
Oh, do you?
Yes, and some of them we know stuff about and some of us just like, who could that be? So this morning they're reporting that Hayley Steinfeld, who she starred in Bumblebee and she voices Spider-Gwen and she's been in other things, plenty of stuff. She's a very hot ticket.
Look, that sort of
I think she's an Oscar nominee.
The things that you said I know exist, but I have not watched them, yet I know her face.
She's very popular with young people.
The youth of today.
That's right.
The fellow kids.
She has been offered the role of Kate Bishop Hawkeye, which is the female second Hawkeye who will star in the TV show with Jeremy Renner.
And Disney Plus, right?
Yes. And he kind of passes the baton. Like in the comic, he kind of passes the baton to her and then takes it back. Realizes that he didn't want to do
Has
that.
Has he got an Indian giver?
She never asked for permission. She just kind of decided to become a new Hawkeye.
Okay, right.
And proves
copyright
herself.
Copyright issues.
Yeah, proves herself to him and stuff and goes out of her way to show that she is the better Hawkeye. Yeah.
All right. So that's what this TV series is going to be about.
I think so. A very – imagine Veronica Mars mixed with Hawkeye.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yes.
What do you think about the casting? Do you think she's happy with it? Okay, good.
She's great. Bumblebee, she's really solid in that.
More ticklish than Elmo. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
One other thing, not really casting news, because we already know that Robert Pattinson's going to be the next Batman.
Yes.
But do you want to know what Kristen Stewart thinks about that?
Does it begin with her sighing?
Everything begins with her sighing, messing up her hair, not Boris Johnson style, but, you know, she still messes it up. Yeah, that's right.
You can't see, but I'm making a face that's like, I'm not sure if I'm constipated.
It's really hard being Kristen Stewart. Nobody understands. But she's giving two thumbs up. Now, she's promoting her movie, is it Cyborg, I think it's called, at the moment. So it's not like she held a press conference to talk about what she thought about Robert Pattinson being...
Don't anybody look at me.
A journalist asked her, and she said, I feel like he's the only guy that could play that part. I'm so happy for him.
What?
She would have said this, I'm so happy for him.
Well, I'm sorry. He's the only guy that could play that part. There have been many people already to have played Batman.
You know Kristen Stewart has never watched a Batman movie in her life. You know that. She's probably only just figured out who Batman is.
She'd be down with Jared Leto Joker.
Oh, yeah, she would be. I mean, I was really happy with Jared Leto's performance.
I felt I could relate when he lied down in that circle of knives. Just spoke to me.
So, yeah, two thumbs up from Kristen Stewart.
All right.
Now Robert's happy to go. He's ready now. He's ready to film.
He got the thumbs up from the ex. Good stuff.
The ex in inverted commas.
Speaking of
publicity ex. I'm sorry,
that's all right. Speaking of the Batverse,
yeah.
Suicide Squad continues to add more weird big names.
Because every couple of weeks we seem to get a new one.
Yeah, so we've got two this round. One is Peter Capaldi, who's the most recent Doctor Who. Well, not the most, recent male.
Male, yeah. The 12th Doctor, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love him from The Thick of It and other stuff. No idea what his role would be. Again, I'm speculating that there's some big names that are going to die very quickly because they're also saying that Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, really?
Almost... Mr. Ariana Grande.
Yeah, we were only speaking about him last week. I know. Think.
Apparently, he's in there for
interesting.
Something.
Okay, but he's gonna be a cameo.
Yeah, he's gonna
100%. That's a cameo.
So hard. Maybe he'll be like Quilt King or Condiment King.
Is Quilt King like? Oh, there was that book made into a movie about 50, not 50, like...
Is that the Bible with the Joseph Technicolor Dreamcoat?
No. No, that's another quilt thing. No, about women who made a quilting bee or something like that. It was from like the 90s.
Oh, something like the Travelling Pants.
Yeah, it's
Pants
one of those
of
sort of movies. Yeah. I think it had Winona Ryder
I don't think
it.
I've ever mangled the name of a film more. The Travelling Ya-Ya Pants Sister.
Yeah, I knew exactly what it was. It had...
Don't mangle your pants in the hood while you're drinking
your... It had Lorelei or whatever her name was. Mm. The daughter from Gilmore Girls. The one who's in Handmaid's now. No, I'm talking about the Sisterhood Pants movie. The quilt movie.
Yes.
Which is...
It's the same deal though, isn't it?
That I'm sure that had Winona Ryder in it.
Not the Saddle Club. Sorry, I just winked at Leah.
It was a blast from the past. That was Australian, I'm sure.
I think it was because Babysitter Club was global and they jumped on it.
Say hello to your friends.
Yeah, they jumped on it with a bit of Saddle Club.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
That show was more popular than we remember. It wasn't just in Australia.
There were a lot of books. I remember a lot of books.
Oh, Babysitter's Club had like 422, I'm guessing.
I remember it, looking at it being like, wow, there's more of them than there are of Goosebumps. I've read a lot of Goosebumps.
Yeah, Goosebumps was... The thing about Babysitter's Club, though, was you read the first chapter, you missed the second because that was just explaining the world, and then you jumped back to the third because if you had read any Babysitter's Club book...
Then you knew who Janice was.
Yep.
You don't need a reminder of what Andrea has been going on with. And don't get me started on Blair's hair woes.
I don't think any of those three names that you'd pulled out of your hat, In-N-Out burger hat, by the way, got a lot of time for that you're wearing today.
Thank you.
But I'm pretty sure none of the babysitters were that. Oh, I can't remember. There was a Stacey and maybe a Heather.
Sure. It's fun to imagine names that wouldn't be in the Babysitters Club or the Saddle Club, like Priya or Shakira.
Shakira was never there.
Condoleezza.
Yes, she was busy.
Shaniqua.
Oh, Shaniqua.
That's what I mean. Like, they were very white names. They really were. I felt like Andrea was a pretty safe bet.
Andrea Zuckerman from 90210.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. A whole story. Oh, anyway, sorry. I didn't even know what we were talking about.
We were talking about Suicide Squad and talking about casting of things. There's some other casting that I've seen. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going to star, write, direct, and executive produce in a new series called Mr. Clayton.
Is this for Apple?
It is. Half-hour dramedy. It's his first proper TV gig since The Rock from the Sun.
Huh.
He's done plenty of TV projects. He's produced things and been involved behind the scenes and stuff.
And he's done, like, not the rap battles, the lip-sync.
Lip-sync battles. Yeah, yeah. Yes, he's done plenty of appearances, but playing a long-running TV character. This is a new thing. So I think it's just a limited series.
Now, like most people in the world, I've got a lot of time for him.
Mm.
Hearing about this makes me think, oh, no. Now I'm going to have to get that streaming service as well. This is where it starts to get difficult. These names where you go, oh, I really respect that person. I always like the stuff that they're in. Is suddenly on a different streaming service that you don't have, and you were sort of on the, you know, on the fence as to whether you were going to pick it up or not. And you hear stuff like this, you go, oh no.
I think that's going to happen more and more.
It really is. What are we going to do?
Because, like, you know, I set up Amazon Prime mainly just to watch The Boys.
Yeah.
And I've gone through and I've watched a bit of The Grand Tour and a few of the other shows and stuff. But I'm more now just hanging around waiting for Boys Season 2 and other shows to keep me there.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to hit a point where it's...
You've got to decide.
I'm gonna keep my subscription based on what's coming up, not what I've enjoyed before.
I see what you mean.
Which is an odd position to be in. Rather than hang around to hopefully catch more of a show you've enjoyed before, jump because there's shows that you think you might be into.
I think that's the world of streaming.
Yeah.
I think that's the world of subscribing to things like this now. You know, we're looking at Disney Plus going, well, I know it's got a lot of Star Wars stuff. That interests me. I'd be sad if I missed out on that.
Yep.
And other people, you know, I love all of the Disney back catalogue. I know I can get it here, so I'm going to have to get it. You know, other people are like, this Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston thing looks really interesting. I like the people that Apple have been sort of throwing out on stages. I think I'm going to have to pick that up. It's hard. And then, you know, and then we're not even then talking about things like Spotify or Apple Music or Google Music, whatever. Like, there's all these other different sorts of streaming, and they all want our money.
Back off our money, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I'll be honest, Apple hasn't done tons to wow me yet. There's some cool looking shows, but there haven't been tons that have made me
clamor. I think they've held off a bit more, haven't they?
I think so. And it also seems like they're going forward with original content and original IPs, which is very clever. They don't have a huge backlog of IPs to work with. They have to be doing licensing and deals with other people.
Yeah.
But it hurts when Disney can hold up a sign and go, look at all the things we own that you love that we're making new stuff for. It's only the same as Netflix a month.
Yeah.
All right. Netflix puts out maybe 2 hours of content a month that I'm stoked for and two or three times a year a series.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay for that with Disney and then get all the bonus extra stuff and the weird Jeff Goldblum documentaries and...
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
I definitely will still watch Netflix because there is constantly stuff on there that I go, huh? I didn't know that even was a thing. And this is right up my alley. Why hasn't it told? Why hasn't the algorithm told me about this?
See, I think Netflix is great for doing that, finding stuff. I'm finding less and less with the Netflix original content, stuff that makes me go, oh, great. Like Umbrella Academy was their great big winner for me this year.
Mm.
To put in perspective, so Apple announced that show about Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Very cool. Netflix have announced that they've got a new series coming, a multicam comedy. So think your Big Bang Theory or your Two and a Half Men. It's starring Kevin James. It's set in a NASCAR garage, and he's the NASCAR garage chief. And
oh, that's that kind of show that is on, you know, one of the free-to-air channels at about 8 o'clock at night, and you flick over and you go, ah, oh, I might see what's on Netflix.
Yeah. Well, I believe people from Fuller House are involved. So it's that sort of okay. level of...
Yeah, so it's a proper sitcom.
It's a sitcom.
Hasn't he been in sitcoms before?
Yeah, he's King of Queens.
Ah, that's right.
For many, many years.
Yep.
I don't know. He's fine.
I liked the movie Hitch.
Hitch was good. I really enjoyed, I think it's called Here Comes the Boom, where he's a teacher and decides to become an MMA fighter to raise money for charity. That was surprisingly good. He got all stuck in. But I think the fact that Netflix gets in bed and makes these deals with Adam Sandler and Kevin James, it shows that they are, if Apple are going to try and be Kubrick, then Netflix are more than happy being Michael Bay. There you go. I got
there
in the
end.
That's
a really nice analogy.
I was trying,
it's
not a social or economy type thing. It's just literally who they're positioning themselves as.
Yeah.
And you've got one that wants to be an aorta and create art, and you've got another one that is there to just make you sit and pay for your ticket, eat your popcorn, and go to bed.
Yeah. That's a beautiful way of looking at it.
And neither of them are better or worse than the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
That's enough casting news.
That was more casting news than I thought we were going to have.
It was a lot of casting news.
I've just got one more story.
All right.
I can throw at you really quickly.
Hit me.
Firstly, I think it's incredible that Grand Theft Auto 5, GTA 5 Online,
yes,
is still a thing after all these years. That came out in like 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, they added something, a casino or something to it.
Yeah, added something recently, had a nice, a couple of new heists and all that sort of thing. But they also throw in these little tasks that, you know, if you don't really want to go in there and try and join up with random people, like if you don't have friends that play GTA, you can do stuff like collect 100 action figures for a toy collector. That's a mission.
Cool.
In there. This is from Kotaku. They say to start the quest, you simply log in and wait for a text from a man who owns a local comic book store. Someone stole all his action figures and you need to collect them and bring them all back to him. Like you get in-game money, but you also get a superhero costume,
cool.
which is really fun. And it's that kind of thing that if you haven't played the game for, you know, 4 or 6 months, you go, oh, jump in there and just do that. I don't want to play with anyone else. I just want to go and do something by myself. I can explore the whole map then just looking for these comic book characters, 100 of them. And if you had GTA back in the day, you've still got it. You can still play this. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm tempted.
You're tempted?
Except I already know my level 1 online character is not going to go well against level 4 million people.
Yeah, it's difficult jumping into games.
You'd have to hide.
I've been considering jumping in on Rainbow Six Siege again, which I haven't played in years, but I just know that I'm too newbie.
Those people are serious.
Uh-huh. I'm going to get killed.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I have 3 news stories for
you. Yeah, go for it.
And they're all quick ones, so we'll pow through them.
Nice.
One, set your diary. September 15th, so 16th for us, is the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin.
I heard about this. Now, there are names.
There are names. I'm not going to tell you the names because part of the fun is the surprise of who they trot out.
Because
the biggest name has been revealed.
Okay, who's that?
Robert De Niro.
That's a name. And that is a name.
He is not someone, he's known for being a bit curmudgeonly and not being super
not
on
in
board.
On the joke. Yeah. Don't want to be doing it.
So let's see how that goes.
Oh, what do you, Tina Fey has to show up. She's just got to.
I hope so. I hope that they make fun of him for berating his daughter on that voicemail years
Please
ago.
Please get, what's her name, Island, I think?
I think so.
Please get her on there. I don't know what she does now, but she can do that.
I don't know if Bieber will be there.
Oh.
But there has to be a lot of jokes about his
yeah, because he's married to, is it his niece?
His niece, yes.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
So that sounds fun. Yeah. Lego Masters Series 2 is going to be happening. Lego Masters Australia, which is great.
So soon.
We don't know when yet. It's just confirmed that the production is going to go ahead.
Amazing.
Not official numbers that I've seen, but it looks like it averaged about 2.2 million viewers each episode, which is huge numbers for Aussie. That's like cooking show.
That's Master show. Chef.
Yeah. I mean, they were playing it prime time Sunday night.
Of course, but there were a lot of factors that went into it. So obviously the main premise of the show.
Yep.
You had Hamish Blake, which I think was a fantastic choice for host. And also you had that sort of reality competition genre of TV that people love. I know that Tidy was into it.
I think as well the other element is the positivity, is that it's not, you're not there to beat someone else necessarily. It's not that sort of competition. It's a competition of expressing creativity, this sort of stuff.
So much work went into it.
So that's pretty cool. No idea when that will come, but
it may end up coming on next year, next year.
Look,
like when schools go back kind of thing.
I imagine now that they did all the legwork for season one, production-wise, it's not a huge deal to fire up that engine again. It's just getting the Lego bricks out of the buckets again.
That's true.
It's having
so they could potentially have a couple of seasons a year is what you're implying?
Look, I think they wouldn't want to do more than two. You kill the golden goose pretty quick on that sort of stuff.
Mm.
But who knows? Mm. And then the final one, this was the news that made me go, the most this week. So Neighbours
is
getting a spin-off.
After 30-odd years?
Yep, but not for us.
For the UK?
Channel 5's digital service, My5, has commissioned Neighbours, Erinsborough High. That's what the school's called, isn't it?
Yeah. So is it like Heartbreak High?
I think so. It's only a 5-part spin-off from what I understand. It may only end up being like 22 minutes total. These are digital shorts, but it's something to do with the goings on at the school during HSC, during your A-levels, UK fans.
As a teenager, my favourite shows were Press Gang, Beverly Hills 90210, obviously French and Saunderson, absolutely fabulous, but they're beside the point. And things like Heartbreak High, like I loved those high school shows growing up.
There you go. They've said that cast and crew from Neighbours will be involved. Okay. There will also be new characters.
Cool.
May cross back over to the show. I wonder if Paul will show up at some point.
Paul shows up everywhere.
Did he grow another leg? Because I remember he lost a leg.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was a big plot point that he lost a leg at one point. I've literally never watched an episode of Neighbours. I've flicked in and out and caught snippets, and I was in boarding school for a while and people watched it every night, so I've heard it. It's not my bag, but I know that Paul is shady and has a peg leg that may have grown back. And Dr. Carl, which when I was young, everyone thought was great. And then there was a period where he cheated on Susan. Everyone turned on Dr.
Yeah,
Carl.
Yeah, that's right.
And now I think Dr. Carl's back in the good books.
I wonder if his wife's still around on the show.
Susan.
I'd already forgotten her name. You literally said it 30 seconds ago.
That's all right. Her name was Susan.
Didn't they have they had three kids and one of them was, what was his name? Jesse, and he ended up on House or something like that.
Not Jesse Owens, maybe.
Yeah, blonde hair.
Yeah.
Maybe Owens. He did some stuff over in the US.
I do know who you are describing.
Yeah.
Look, it's all Toadie. It's all about Toadfish.
He's still around?
I believe so.
That's good. He's like the Alf, isn't he?
You wouldn't give up a plum gig like that. Not when you've been on. Because there's a whole...
He's like a teenager when he started.
Yeah. And now he's 40s or something. And there's like a whole frog-related clan. It was Tad pole, tadfish, stonefish. I'm not kidding. There's
pufferfish?
Probably.
Awesome.
I mean, that's what that's what everyone called Toadie back in the day when he was a unit.
He was a unit.
He was a proper unit.
Yeah, he was a unit.
Didn't he drive a car off a pier in an episode or something? Sounds like something Toadfish would do.
Something he would do. Toadfish. Ridiculous. Mm. Is that all the news?
That's enough for you. The only trailer I saw this week was Bad Boys for Life, which is the new Bad Boys film, and I was half asleep.
So
I don't remember, but I'm on board. I don't need to go back and watch
You're just going to go and see it when it comes out.
Yep.
Perfect.
Woosa.
What were you saying?
What?
Woosa.
Woosa. That's what Mike Lowry. Woosa is what Martin Lawrence's character says in the second film where he's been put in anger management and anger therapy. He gets taught to
Woosa.
Woosa is his calming word.
Do you know, do you want to have a guess around the time that I would have watched that movie? Whenever it came
about
out.
9 in the morning? Okay, when it came out.
It's been a long time. I remember them being fun.
They're trashy movies, but I love them. I have a lot of fun with those films. Tia Leone.
That's right. That's right. She was married to, or maybe still is, David Duchovny. Yeah.
No, I think they split up.
They did?
Think so.
I've seen
Tia,
her
get in touch with the show.
Yeah, we'd like to know. That'd be great. Speaking of getting in touch, we have a listener quiz coming up a little bit later on. If you want to provide a quiz or come up with a question or, I don't know, tell us that we're great, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Please.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. What have you been watching?
My first thing is a listening suggestion. And it's very quick. 13 Reasons Why. They do a very cool soundtrack for young people that I'm not hip or connected enough to know about. But the one they've just put out for season 3 has 5 Seconds of Summer, has Youngblood, a lot of very cool. I'm really enjoying this album. So put it on and you can go, gee, some young people music is great.
Season 3. Okay.
So very. That was small.
That's a good little music suggestion.
But. On your suggestion, yes. I watched the Dave Chappelle Sticks and Stones.
Oh, now what did you think?
So I see what you mean by he's pushing the envelope a bit and having a go.
Mm.
I've seen plenty of comedians do that style of thing, but not of his stature. That's kind of where the danger of it comes from, I think.
Mm.
He's making jokes about other people's careers being destroyed by lynch mobbing.
Yep.
And he's basically calling out lynch mobbing, doing it. So he did used to do stuff that was very similar to this, but I don't know, he kind of...
Is it different now because of where society is now?
I think it's a combination of where society is, and I think, and this is not a knock on him, but when he was doing this stuff back in the day, he was an edgy, young, angry comedian, and now he kind of comes across as the racist stuck in the mud uncle.
Yeah, right.
And I think that's where the other part of the dichotomy is coming from of, wow, he is part of the older guard now and it's him talking about refusing to change and still doing the stuff that he used to do, but the context of it being viewed is different.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting and odd watch.
Mm.
I do feel like he intentionally worked through different taboo subjects to try and work out where your personal line was. Mine, when he started going in on trans people, I was like, not on board with this.
Yeah, letters, like he was just saying letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were parts that were jokes and funny, and then there were parts that were a little more rambly, and I do think he was intentionally pressing buttons because that's the role of a comedian is to find society's foibles and hold a mirror up to them so we can all see. But there were elements of like, this isn't funny enough.
And you heard the crowd.
Yeah.
Like there was that sort of, I don't really want to laugh at this, but I'm at a stand-up comedy show.
It's being filmed.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that sort of polite laughter even though they didn't really. Yeah, it was just interesting. And if you've seen Dave Chappelle's stuff before, then you may have already watched this. But if you haven't, and just watch it and see what you think.
It's clearly very edited down. And the way I know that is because a lot of comedians, people love Dave Chappelle, but a lot of comedians that work in comedy clubs hate Dave Chappelle.
Why?
Because it's quite customary for a big name comedian who does TV or films and things like that to drop in on comedy clubs and kind of jump into the order and just be like, oh, I've got some material I'm working on. Do you mind if I jump up for 10 minutes and try it out?
All right.
Robin Williams was notorious for doing this. Maybe a couple of nights a week, he'd just show up at different comedy clubs and be like, do you mind if I jump on? I'm just working out some stuff. Want to give it a go. Dave Chappelle will say that to people and then go for 5 hours.
Ah, okay.
And keep the club open, keep everyone working late. It means that everyone that was supposed to go on has lost their spot.
Mm.
And they're seeing a maestro at work, but
it's too much.
Someone who does not give a shit about anybody else.
Yeah.
Completely self-focused with that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So seeing I think it was 80 minutes of that, is clearly a very condensed version of what he would have recorded.
So that crowd were probably not just awkwardly laughing, but a bit tired.
I think so. I think so.
Well, all right, let's shake it up a bit with just a feel-good show.
Or can we?
Travels with My Father.
Oh,
season 3. Only 2 episodes. Or at least there are only 2 out at the moment. No, it felt like there were only 2. It was them in America. And, what a show just to make you feel good. Like, obviously they set things up and there are jokes that they've decided they're going to do. I mean, it's a travel show.
Mm.
But there are bits where it's quite endearing because you know that they're really loving doing it together. And at the end of every season, they sort of sit next to each other and say, I've really enjoyed traveling with you because you're my dad or whatever. And there was a bit at the end where Jack, he was choking up. He was trying to like not talk, just pretend that he had something else to think. Oh, I'm just having a think before I say the next thing. You're like, no, you're choking up. Because he was genuinely touched that he was able to do this with his dad. Because his dad's a lot older than he is.
Yeah.
I think he's about 78, I think, something like that. So to have this time together to be able to travel and be stupid and work together must just be amazing.
They always seem to have a lot of fun. I've watched some of the episodes of their talk show from a few years ago, and it was very interesting. It was that same sort of, you can see Jack he just loves his dad.
He just loves
enamored
his dad.
With his dad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And his dad's character, you know, is his dad. Like that's him. But you also know that that's a character as well.
Yep.
Like he's hamming it up. Ah, such a fun show. Only 2 episodes on Netflix, but if you want something, if you've had a day, watch it. It'll make you feel better.
All right.
Yeah.
I had a show that made me feel better.
Yeah.
There's a new one that started on Comedy Central in the States called Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik.
Now, who's Anthony Jeselnik?
He is a really, really harsh comedian. He's done some of the roasts and stuff in the past. He writes a lot of the most savage jokes that get said by famous people at the roasts.
Yeah, right.
He's built his whole career out of being just awful to people. I love him. He was a celebrity judge on Roast Battle, the most recent season.
Ah, okay.
So he's got that.
Yeah, right.
That standing very tight with Comedy Central. So he's got this new show, which is a mix of your old school Inside the Actors Studio program mixed with, have you seen Hard Talk? You know, Tom Gleason's thing.
Yep.
So it's a half hour format of him sitting down with one comedian, I think. They may be other celebrities, but it looks like they're comedians, so they're sharpening up with him.
Yeah.
And it's in front of a studio audience, but it looks like they're in a library and this sort of stuff. And he asks questions about their career and puts them down throughout, but not in a hard talk way where it's like attack.
It's incredibly obvious.
Yes. It's more just very subtly asking questions that force this person to answer in a way that makes them look poor.
A little Louis Theroux?
Yes.
Yeah.
But every question seems to put the person on the back foot just a touch more and make it a little more off-putting.
Okay.
And he's clearly very good. Like the first episode was with Nick Kroll, who I'm a huge fan of, and they spent a lot of time talking about Big Mouth and working in animation and this stuff. So it is very interesting.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
You know, it's not all a big joke. They do actually peel back the layers, but in a way that seems very genuine for a comedian to do rather than sitting down talking seriously about their craft and this sort of stuff.
Yep.
They're just making jokes the whole time about making jokes, but also just really being awful about Nick Kroll. It's great.
So what's it called again?
It's called Good Talk with Anthony Jeselnik.
Good Talk.
Yes, his name is spelled Jaselnik.
Has he got the kind of face where you go, ah, oh, yeah, I have seen him, or?
Probably not.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about a movie that came out a few years ago now.
Right.
It is the 2015 movie, Vacation.
Oh, with close personal friend of the show, Ed Helms.
That's right. And one of my best friends, mug. Christine Applegate. What? Hey?
I still got his mug.
Oh, does he know?
Probably. Okay. He's probably still looking for it.
A little bit angry about it.
It did say world's second best boss. Well, from The Office.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because he wasn't allowed, he had to take over.
Because of reasons.
Hope you were well, Ed.
Yeah, good on you, Ed. He was looking well in 2015. So he plays Rusty, who is the
son.
Yeah.
And fourth or fifth person to play Rusty, I believe. Fifth, I think. Because you've had an Anthony Michael Hall. Ethan Embry.
Yeah.
He was in Vegas Vacation.
Johnny Galecki in Christmas Vacation. And then the European guy who, I don't know. Anyway, he's Rusty. His wife is Christina Applegate. And they go on a vacation.
Is it Will Poulter? Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I think it's Will Poulter. Very funny English guy.
And they're off to Wally World, which still exists and nobody cares. But what I like about this movie is that they're aware of the fact that they're doing sort of the same movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just going to make fun of the fact that they're doing the same sort of movie. So the beats are similar. You know, like they'll go to a sort of campground where everything is disgusting.
Is that where Nick Offerman tries to get a bit of – is it Megan Mullally as well with him?
Mullally was not in there.
Maybe it's Catherine Hahn or someone.
She wasn't.
But they try and get a bit of a group swing happening.
It was just such a funny movie. Chris Hemsworth.
I was going to say, how's his junk?
It was so funny.
Yeah?
We were laughing almost to the verge of tears rolling down. Like that scene where he just comes into their bedroom in his underpants with his junk, and he's like, I just wanted to come in and show you how to use the TV remote. So this is the on. It's also the off. Anyway, it's just ridiculous. I thought it was very funny. If I had gone to the movies and seen it, I would have not thought it was funny. But sure. I was at home.
I didn't pay directly for it.
It was just, let's eat dinner and watch a movie. And it was very funny. And the fact that it started with the Holiday Road song made me so happy.
What a jam. I think I've bought that song in 8 different formats.
Oh, yeah?
Album, vinyl, I had it on back in the day. I've bought it. Yeah, I think I've bought it many, many different. I love that song.
I've bought Bing Crosby's, how do you pronounce this? Like Melekalikimaka, the Christmas song, the Hawaiian Christmas song from the Christmas Vacation because I loved it so much. National Lampoon's vacation movies, mostly, are great. Mostly.
Vegas. Not great.
Please don't disturb my friend. He's dead tired. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What else have you been watching?
I too went and watched a movie from a few years ago that I had seen back then.
Yes.
But decided to treat myself with it again.
Go on.
Because I'd been enjoying The Boys so much with Carl Urban and his ridiculous British accent in that series. I went back and watched Dread.
Oh, yeah.
Which stars Carl Urban, but you wouldn't know because he keeps his helmet on. All you get is the mouth and a chin.
Yeah, right.
That's some damn good acting that he makes you care for a character when all you're getting is a mouth and a chin.
Similar to Batman stuff sometimes.
But there's no Bruce Wayne to him. He's just the judge all the time.
He's Dread. The judge. Dread.
And he's up to some serious business.
So what year would that have been made?
I want to say 2014, I think. Okay. Might have been 12.
It's not that long ago,
it's not
really.
That long. It's not that long.
I feel like it was ages ago.
But just it's got such good action. And there's been all this chatter that there may be a spin-off TV show or a limited series TV show, high production value from the UK, because Judge Dredd is a huge character in the UK.
Absolutely.
He's one of the longest running, if not the longest running UK comic series. almost every great fantasy or sci-fi author you love from Britain has written for Judge Dredd at some point.
Really?
Yeah, it's a big part of that sort of writing culture over there. There's you have a crack. You might get to write a Doctor Who audio story and a Judge Dredd comic.
You put them on your resume immediately.
Yeah.
So that's strange that it hasn't happened yet, but maybe in this world of streaming services.
I think, look, this is me watching some space, but okay.
Who do you reckon would get it?
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to join some dots.
Ooh, I like this.
So Simon Pegg and Carl Urban are very close. They've become close on the Star Trek films and stayed close throughout. Carl Urban starred in The Boys for Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And got Simon Pegg involved. Simon Pegg, we already know, is doing stuff with Amazon, and he has a production company over in the UK. They've done a lot of stuff with Studio Canal, but his production company is now doing stuff with Amazon. So it would not surprise me if he somehow helps broker a deal to bring that character to either his production company or at least Netflix or an Amazon or someone over there to do a streaming service. That's just what I speculate.
Because
Carl Urban and Simon Pegg teamed up have enough clout to make that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, separately they probably do, but together that's a pull.
So live action?
Yeah. Very, very violent.
That'd be all right.
You didn't see the first one? Do you know much about it?
I know of Judge Dredd.
Okay. He's the Punisher with a badge. And this film is ridiculously violent, and it's some great gory stuff.
Is it? Because I remember you saying that the latest Hellboy movie was very gory.
So it's not that style. It's kind of more martial arts style or like The Raid.
Okay.
And with a lot of guns. I forgot to mention, but I probably should have, that the bad guy is Cersei. Lena Headey.
Lena Headey.
She is called Mama. She's the head of the mafia boss for this tower that holds...
She's so good at being evil.
100,000 people or something like that.
Ooh.
And she manufactures a drug that you inhale and then it slows your brain.
Until it stops? Or is it just permanently slowed?
No, it's like a high for a short bit. But like at one point we see some guys in a drug den inhale some right before the door gets kicked in and bullets get shot. And it is a very, very cool sequence of these two guys like reacting and in their brain,
they're reacting. Yeah.
We know on the outside that they can't physically move in any way to react. But these guys have got to sit there and just watch the bullets fly and rip people.
Wow.
It's very cool. Just very, very Dredd. Creative stuff. Yeah, Dredd.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Fear the Walking Dead? So this episode introduced a new group, a big group. Well, seemingly big. And we say goodbye to someone who we only just started to understand.
Yep, that was abrupt.
It was very abrupt.
Mm.
Something had to happen. You know, deaths had to happen in Fear the Walking Dead. It had been building up.
I don't know if any of them count, though. They're not anyone really.
Yeah,
on
true.
Our team.
But he was almost on their team.
He was very close to being on their team.
But the horse cowboys,
Someone calling them pioneers.
Okay.
I don't know if I like that.
I can see themselves calling themselves pioneers.
Horse jerks.
Yeah, horse jerks. So I think they're kind of like the helicopter people in that they want to pioneer, they want to build society again, yeah, but under their terms.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like. And it also tells you that there are different groups in the world that are trying to do good, but good through their eyes. So
yes,
their version of good, which is, I guess, what people like the saviors were trying to do, sort of.
Do you feel that potentially this is setting up the film, or the films, I should say, in that we will see a larger, more macro conflict between these pioneer people and the helicopter people? Because if they're both operating in the same area, these pioneer people needed help finding the oil reserve and this sort of stuff. So they're not omnipotent.
Yeah. Nice use of the word.
Thanks. I was
impressive. Once every 3 years, you use a word like that.
That's enough. I'll put it back in the box. Yeah, I feel like they're setting things up that way.
Their leader seems drunk on power.
So did you recognize her?
Yeah, but I don't know what from.
So you've watched The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, have you?
Oh.
She is from that, as was the girl that got rescued from
Wes. Didn't recognize her at all.
She was from that. But right. The leader, the wonderful accent, the southern accent, she was also recently on The Boys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Not a super powered person. She was one of the executives.
She was in stuff. Yeah. She's there. So, I mean, I'm assuming now that she's going to be in this, in Fear for a while now. It looks like that group is big enough for it to linger and not go anywhere.
Unless Luciana decides to kill them all by burning down the refinery or something.
That is something she would do.
Yeah. I could see her and Daniel deciding to take them all down.
Still don't know where Daniel is.
Nope. He's not going to be happy about the situation.
Mm.
Felt very strange that this all happened in episode 13 rather than
it's a strange end of time, right? Like that. Which means it's going to get worse. So that it builds up to end of season.
Yes. I don't think we've hit rock bottom at all yet.
No, it's been rather rosy.
Can I say I was most disappointed when I saw horseback people and it was not Angus Sampson.
Yeah. Oh. Are we around the same time now?
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, this episode alone had them fighting in the afternoon, and then it was suddenly the evening, and then it was midnight, and then it's the morning, and no one slept, no one worried.
It's a long time.
Yeah, weird filming schedule looked like.
You'll get a good sleep later, don't worry, once the horse people go. All right, so fear, that's fear done. Tick, tick that off our list of things to do. Let's get excited, it's time for a quiz. Sent in by Felicity. Hi, Tom and Leah. Love the
podcast. Do you reckon her friends call her Flick?
Or Liss? I know a few Lisses. Hi, Tom and Leah. Love the podcast. My favourite part by far is the quiz. I can't say I'm always great at getting the answers right, but I love playing along. I might be wrong, but Leah, I don't think you've done a 20 questions quiz before, and I'd love to hear one sitcom related as I'm pretty good at that kind of TV show. Keep up the good work, Felicity, otherwise known as Flick or Liss. I don't know if we have done a 20 question.
So how does, remind me, 20 is that all where right. I get to ask you 20 questions to try and determine the answer of something?
So you know that it is a sitcom.
Right.
I've got one in my head.
Yep. I've got,
and you've
20
got
20
questions, which involves me keeping count.
All right. Is this show filmed in front of a live audience?
Yes. I think so.
Is this show from this century?
No.
Was this show made and aired in America?
Yes. I'm doing really good. That's three.
Was this show largely set in a family home?
Yes.
Was this show about a mixed family?
Yes. It's now, it's one of two, I reckon. Now you've just got to get the decade. Because the decade will decide.
Mm. Did this show have three male leads?
Yes.
That doesn't sound too convincing.
Three male leads is not.
Not. I'm not saying they're the only characters.
Yeah, they're not. They're equally as leadable as.
All right.
Others.
Did this family have a nanny or a maid?
They had a maid.
So it's the Brady Bunch.
It's the Brady Bunch. Seven questions and you got it.
Thanks.
When you said like a mixed family, I was like, he's either going to go Brady Bunch or Step by Step.
I was trying to think Full House as well.
Oh,
that's
Full
where
House.
I was going with the three male leads.
Of course.
I was trying to knock that one out of my mind.
When you said the three male leads, I was thinking, well, I mean, there were three boys, but also that's the dad was.
That was my thinking of if I ask three male leads, then you go, yes, that's the dads. But if you say no, then that probably means there's a dad in the mix as well.
That was amazing.
Thanks.
Seven.
That was good fun.
That was good fun.
Good work, Flick.
Yeah, Flick, we might have to do another 20 questions soon. So for you, if anybody's got any suggestions, your sitcom or movie related, as long as I know enough about it,
yeah,
well, I can do the research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if we're asking for suggestions, I've got a new computer. So if you reckon something's awesome on Steam that I should have a go.
Good idea.
Let me know. Give me a nudge. I'm catching up. I've been out of the PC game a while.
I've never been in the PC game.
I had to get out.
And I feel like hearing you talk about it is now going to, I'm going to have to start. I can't though.
PC gaming is way more addictive than console gaming for me. Like I cannot, the World of Warcraft expansion, I can't go near it.
Yeah, right.
I had cold turkey internet for 4 months at one point.
Whoa.
Because I couldn't.
I've started playing Divinity Original Sin 2 again. I'm going to say halfway through, but in all honesty, it was probably a quarter of the way through. And I had no idea what I was up to, who I had in my party. And now I'm like, why can't I talk to the animals? And it's because I swapped out the character who could talk to the animals. So now I've got to level up somebody else in order to get the talk to the animals. Because there are storylines that I'm missing out on.
Sure.
It's hard being us.
Yeah. At this stage, I'm probably just going to fire up Portal 2 again.
And good choice.
I know. Just play Portal and Portal 2 because the Planet Zoo is out in November, but there is a beta in like 2 weeks.
All right. So a Planet Zoo kind of game, do you want recommendations for that kind of?
Oh, I always love a good simulation. Okay. I've already grabbed Planet Coaster. I've had a bit of a go on Mega Aquarium and Parkitect.
Okay.
And then a bit of Total War, Warhammer 2.
All right. So if you've got any suggestions, the watcherspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out and or follow our Instagram account. I think we're called The Watchers Podcast there as well. I can't remember. Yeah, it's The Watchers Podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, on Instagram. That's where we do most of our things. Always lots of fun.
Always.
Tom, thank you very much.
Woosa. Woosa.